everybody. Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 188. This is Door to Door Geek, aka Steve McLaughlin. We are Cody-less this weekend. Cody typically works 60-ish hours a week, and he got called into a late-night meeting with his superiors, so we have no Super Coop this evening. But we do have a special guest with us this evening. It is Jonathan Simpson from FalseCon. He is the founder and co-director of FalseCon, the head of EA event coordination, sponsor of outreach management, speaker of management and outreach. Man, you have yourself a lot of tasks there, Jonathan.
Yeah, you could say that. There's a lot that has to happen to make something like this happen. I guess when you kick the thing off in the first place, you end up taking a lot of those hats.
Yeah, I've known a couple people in the past who have started up conferences, and they all were blown away at the amount of work it took, but they all also, certain things they didn't want to delegate, they felt better making sure they knew how it was done, when it was done, kind of thing. So I understand holding some of the task close to you. Can I ask, what is FalseCon? Why is FalseCon a event?
Sure. So FalseCon is a free and open source conference. It's presently held in Philadelphia. It has been for the last 5 years. We did 1 year that was not in Philadelphia, and there's a pretty good story behind that, so I probably get to tell you that tonight. But it's a conference for Linux users, for open source users, or for really for anybody who kind of wants to learn a little bit more about open source and Linux.
Gotcha. Yeah. And to be honest, that was the allure to me. I've been to more than a couple Linux conferences, but one or two of them I saw trying to do things with BSD and with other types of services. And they even had Microsoft at a couple of their events, which was the first thing to opening my mind kind of thing towards different types of things going on. And your event is more towards the fundamental nature of open source, which to me is a much broader scope of topics, which I'm believing is going to actually open my eyes a little bit more. I can definitely say by looking at your types of talks you have, this definitely looks like a very good event. So it's happening this year, Saturday, August 22nd, days after this gets published. I've been talking about it for more than a couple weeks. And it is a one-day event starting at 9 a.m. Can I ask, what are some of the highlights to look forward to?
Well, I've always said this, but, you know, Philadelphia has a really rocking open source community and technical community in general. And one of the things that happens here is Technically Philly, which is like a week-long series of all kinds of events. And one of the guys behind that is Christopher Wink of Technically Philly. He's given our keynote end of the day this year, and I know I'm really looking forward to that. I've met him, I think, twice. He's a really cool guy. I'm really looking forward to that talk myself. And you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. There's an install fest for, you know, folks maybe who aren't super familiar with Linux, who want to come in and get Linux running on a machine. Matter of fact, from what I understand, a local nonprofit in Philadelphia, NTR, their mission, as I understand it, is to get computers to less privileged kids who want to use them for homework and so forth. They're going to be selling older model laptops really affordably, like $20, to be used during the install fest to get like a base Linux build going with folks from the community who are going to help out and, you know, get that installed for people, maybe people who've never really dived into Linux before. So that's really cool, I think.
Oh, dude, that to me is what one of the things that makes this type kind of event awesome. You guys have a whole entire track focused towards helping the new user get Linux on their system and then offering low price systems for them. I've never heard of such a thing at any type of event, and this is the kind of thing that makes me feel confident in telling new users, don't worry, if you go there, you're not going to be surrounded by a bunch of people talking leet speak, but there's actual engagement for the newest of the newest of the newest user, and that is something I think far too many events don't focus on.
Yeah, honestly, you know, one of the things, and to be honest, it took us a while to figure this out, but one of the things that separates us, you know, FalseCon, since its second year, it's been free for anybody who wants to come. The first year, we did charge, and I mean, there was, I think, good reasons behind that. We were looking at other events and how they operated and, you know, kind of following that model. But pretty early on, we decided we didn't want really to follow that model, that we had our own idea on, you know, what it really meant to be a free and open source event. And to me, part of that is, you know, you have these new Linux users. I don't ever want to be the impediment to someone like that coming out and having a good time and learning new things. So, you know, if I'm charging the money, I might be that impediment. Maybe I won't, but the possibility's there. You know, I can't do anything about the fact that it costs money to park in Philadelphia, or if you live outside town, you got to drive in, or, you know, even fly in. But I don't have to charge for you to get in the door and learn new things.
Right. I do think some events, it makes sense, quote unquote, to charge money, because what they're offering you is they're offering you almost crazy type things. I was at an event a couple weeks ago. They took us to Wrigley Field for a day, unlimited beer, unlimited soda, unlimited food. Well, you know, it kind of makes sense for somebody to cover that bill. So absolutely. I can almost understand that.
And I'm not saying that, you know, there's nothing wrong with events charging money. There's cases, you know, in a lot of cases you're going to an event, maybe, you know, for professional purposes, get a certification or, you know, enhance your career. But I think there's also totally a place for events that don't focus on that aspect of things. And you know, we're kind of here to, like, get you in the door and just kind of be open, you know, the way the open source community kind of has to anybody who has an interest should be able to get in here and do something with that interest.
Yeah, that's absolutely my thoughts. And you hit the nail on the head. The event I was at was a CompTIA, the people that offer you certification. So if the end goal is to make money with what you learn there, I can understand the spending of money. And to be honest, that's why I was a little, I don't want to say disgruntled by the event, but I found there was a lot of salesmanship. There was a lot of people just trying to sell you on their services, their products. And I like the idea of a event where you go meet normal people, and that's what this event looks like. But even though it's for normal people, I see definitely more than a couple names that I believe I noticed on your schedule of events. Is there anybody that you would like to highlight?
Well, I did mention, you know, Christopher Wink, who's an awesome guy local to Philadelphia. There's also Eric Raymond coming out, which is pretty cool. You know, he's one of the names that comes up when people talk about, like, the people that kind of launched this whole movement of free and open source software. So it's really cool that he'll be there. And, you know, our co-founder is also speaking. My wife, as a matter of fact, she crazily enough thought that this would also be a good idea and helped me make this be a thing.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, if people think they might have heard the name Eric Raymond before, he wrote a book called the Cathedral and the Bazaar. He's basically been in this computing thing since the beginning, kind of thing, the Linux. His history in computers, his influence early on, I think is really under known. He's a very important guy, and he's the kind of guy I'm honestly a little bit giddy about being able to shake his hand. So that, to me, is enough of a reason for people to travel a distance to come and see.
And I don't know if you saw, but what he's actually doing is, like, an Ask Me Anything. So not only can you shake his hand, but I hope you've got a couple good questions for him.
I know I have one or two, but I also am part of a group where I know if I tell them I'm going to be at a AMA with Eric Raymond, they're going to hit me with at least 10 or 15 questions. I'm going to have to weed out the ones that I think are good. So that is, to me, is also a very good way for him to fill up time, because I'm sure people have plenty of things to ask him.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I like about what I'm seeing on your schedule is there's a broad range of things. People might think one day means short event. I can tell you, it looks like you've picked very, very good talks to make this one-day event. It's going to be too much for any one person to really take everything in, but I guarantee you, you're going to find at least four talks in here that you want to go see. Stuff on graphics, LVM, web apps, writing better command line apps with, like, Python. I really like the range of stuff that you've gotten, and I really like the fact that it is more open source focused than a single distribution focus or just Linux. So this is really good.
Yeah, we've always tried to have a nice broad selection of talks, and you know, I got to be honest, running this thing in one day presents its own set of challenges, to the point that every year the question comes up, should we extend the event just to give people time to get to everything they want to? Because, you know, I mean, it becomes a real balancing act trying to place talks adjacent to each other that kind of makes sense, where people, you know, might have a particular interest they can follow through for the whole day.
Yeah, to me, that's one of those things you can never answer. It is like waiting till you're ready to have a kid. Well, then you'll never have a kid.
Yeah.
It's really a hard decision to make. I do know that. But I will say, I personally like the pace of the talks that I'm seeing. So for you to do, this is already a lot of work for you. I can only imagine how much more work it would be putting it to two full days. Okay, now can I ask, where is the event being held, and is there anything that visitors need to know about it?
So the location, and we've been there once before, which is one of the reasons we're going back. It's the Friends Center in Philadelphia. It's a couple blocks from City Hall, so it's very centrally located. It's a good spot as far as, you know, there's plenty of places to break out for lunch. It's pretty easy to get to, mass transit or parking-wise. There's, you know, lots around locally, so there's a reason we came back here. You know, we tried it out once. We liked it. We went to the Franklin Institute last year, and, you know, I loved the space, but we thought we'd come back to Friends again. And
gotcha.
You know, really like the spot.
Very cool, very cool. Can I ask, how many people do you expect to have at the event?
Well, we've got about 320 registered right now. Optimistically, I'm hoping for another 100 registrations, which is not unrealistic. The nature of a free event is people don't feel obligated to register weeks or months in advance. They will show up at the door. And by the way, for those wondering if they should, I just want to throw out there that there's, even if you don't buy a paid ticket, there's a free breakfast of pastries and bagels the morning of.
Very cool, very cool. Can I ask, how close is the hotels and parking?
Well, there's parking right across the street. There's hotels within a couple blocks. We're staying at a place we're going to go down the night before, because it's it eases things quite a bit. We're going to be about a block and a half away. There's, you know, a couple, just like food-wise, within a block or two, there's a couple places I've been to, a couple places I've heard good things about. There's like Jake's Pizza, which is right around the corner. I have been there. And there's Foods on First. That's like a little deli. A couple years ago, we had a thing at Con Murphy's Irish Pub, which is a couple blocks away. We actually had like a post-FOSCON happy hour over there a couple years back.
Very cool. Yeah, I was actually in Philadelphia last weekend with my wife, and I found walking the streets was a very natural thing. Big sidewalks seemed to be everywhere, and every corner was very obvious on the lights and had a cross and everything. So I found it a very friendly city just to walk around. And having a parking lot right across the street in Philadelphia, good, because I know my buddy who lived there for like 8 years told me the one dangerous thing about going to that city is finding a place to park.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I end up down in the city quite a bit, and to be honest, most of the time I park in the suburbs to take the train in, because the parking is kind of painful. But especially on a Saturday, and with the location of the parking lots around, it's we've done this before at this exact location. We found it to be pretty conducive to people coming in from out of town or finding parking.
Right. Yeah. And I will tell everyone, if you go to falscon.us, click on attend, and then register here. It's very easy, literally 1 to 2 clicks, and you have yourself registration. And I encourage people, register, because I'm sure Jonathan wants to have as accurate numbers as possible going into the event, just so he knows what to expect.
That's absolutely true. I mean, like I said, I expect people to walk in at the door, and you know, we've never had an issue with that. But there's certain things, like I mentioned, you know, we're going to have had breakfast and coffee available to people, and sizing that kind of stuff correctly is challenging without good numbers.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, and it looks like you have your very wide range of sponsors, and it looks like the exhibit hall goes on until 1 p.m., so in between talks or sessions or during lunch, it looks like you can go to the exhibit hall. I honestly like the fact of having it all day instead of having it in a condensed time frame, because that means everyone rushes in to try to get their swag and stuff, and I really do like having it spread out all day. Is there any sponsors that have been long-time sponsors of the event?
I mean, Linode has been with us from the very beginning. They've sponsored every year. Court Iowa, you'll see on the sponsor list, that's actually where I work presently. And they've been with us for the last couple of years.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I definitely like seeing names like Linode. I now know two people who work there. They both said nothing but fantastic things about that company. And, of course, Red Hat. I mean, I love seeing Red Hat giving back to basically the place that made them big. So that's really good, you know, giving back to all these events.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we have a pretty good list this year. We've got SunGuard and Matrix. We've got Zen on there. I do want to give a shout out to Asir, only because, they build out this programming language with a real nice IDE for building like GUIs on Linux and so forth. And but the reason I want to give a shout out is because, you know, they couldn't even make it this year. They're literally just sending us a slide presentation. I'm going to throw it on a screen for them. But they sponsored us anyway, even though they couldn't come down here.
Gotcha. That's
pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've never heard of them, and it looks like these guys have some pretty decent tools.
I built a couple simple applications using the Asir toolset. That's pretty nice.
Very cool. I'll contact them, see if they would like to be on the show. We can help publicize them.
And I gotta say, I think I have more Linode T-shirts than I'll ever know what to do with.
Well, that's always good, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining, but you know, if I go blindfolded into my my dresser and grab something, it's probably gonna be a Linode T-shirt.
Gotcha. Very cool. Okay, so this is August 22nd, 9 a.m., 1501 Cherry Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I can say I'm going to be there. Russ Winter, the techie geek, is going to be there. And Dan Fry from Tilts are three of the guys I know they're going to be there. I know there's going to be at least a couple more. And I'll just say, to me, this is the perfect conference to go to because it looks like you have a very good blend of things to see, but it's also small enough to where you can actually shake people's hands and sit down and talk to them and meet new people. At things like Scale, there's no doubt you have no time to sit down and talk to anybody because there's way too many people. I really do like the fact that this is an event in a popular city, East Coast, right in the middle, with a really good broad range of speakers. So I definitely think you're on the right combination of people, date, and place. This is really a good event. Okay, very cool, very cool. Well, Jonathan, I definitely want to thank you for coming out, and I want to definitely thank you for your service to this event. And I definitely encourage you, anytime you want to let people know about updates to this event next year or the year after or anything, please do not hesitate to contact us, and you're always welcome back on this show.
I appreciate that. Hopefully we can get together a little sooner next year and maybe get the message out, give people plenty of time to make plans.
Absolutely. Sounds very good to me. I want to thank everyone for downloading. Thank everyone for subscribing, and thanks everyone for their support. And anyone who goes to panos.com/Amazon, I salute you. You help make this job, this task, this network much, much easier. And we will talk to everyone next week.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.